Well, good morning. Welcome to Foundry Church. We are in our message series, Anything Goes. And so we're talking about questions that you've submitted, questions that people around you have submitted. And today is, I think, one of the most sincere and potentially helpful questions that's been asked in this whole series. And here's the question. And I don't see if this resonates with you. The question is, how do I keep growing when the sin I'm struggling with feels like it's part of me? Let me say that again, because I think for some of us, this is really going to resonate. How do I continue to grow spiritually when the sin I'm struggling with feels like it's part of me? Like it seems like maybe as a follower of Jesus, I should be able to move beyond this, but I keep coming back around to this sin and I'm stuck in it. I can't get past it. It feels like it's part of me. I don't know if that resonates with you, but I've been a pastor long enough to know that so many people wrestle with sin, with feeling like they're stuck in sin and can't get out of it, and that sin is just part of them. And so in the middle of all that, it can be very discouraging. How do I continue to move forward? I think God wants to grow me more, but how do I really get there? And I really wish I could sit down. I don't know who asked this question. I don't know if they go to Vicksburg or Flowood. I don't know if they're a man or a woman or young or old, or they've been a Christian for a long time or brand new Christian. But I wish I could sit down and ask some questions, like what's the sin? What are you wrestling with? You know, how does it feel? Because the truth is, many of us wrestle with these sins that keep coming up, that keep coming back, sins that are habitual or feel like they're baked into our lives. I know for a lot of people, especially guys, anger is one of those issues. Like, doesn't matter how much you feel like you're making progress spiritually, you keep coming back to this place where you realize, man, I have this anger, like a seething anger inside of me. Just can't get through it, can't get past it, can't get over it, can't move beyond it. I can manage it, I can control it, but it feels like it's baked into who I am. I know for many people, sexual sin and lust feels like the same category of sin. Like I'm moving forward in parts of my life. I've got a good Bible reading habit now. I'm doing better in ministry and consistency and coming to church and being part of a community. But I just feel like everything inside of me still is oriented towards lustful thinking and towards wanting to engage in sexual sin that God doesn't want for me. But you just feel that. It feels like it's part of you. I know many people wrestle with some version of jealousy, and kind of like anger affects men, at least in my experience, affects men more. I think that jealousy affects a lot of women. You look at someone else, you wish you had the relationship they had, the thing they had. You wish that you were more like them, and you wrestle through these feelings of jealousy. And we wrestle with these things. They feel like they're baked into us. And there's also, in the middle of the rest of that, some shame, because you feel like maybe you should be able to move beyond that, and you're stuck in it. And so I want to take a few minutes today to talk through this challenge. How do we grow when we feel like the sin we struggle with is just part of who we are? The Apostle Paul wrote Romans. In Romans chapter 7, he addresses this situation. And feel free to turn there if you'd like. Romans chapter 7. This is what Paul says as he's writing about the challenge many people feel when it comes to sin in their lives. Romans chapter 7, and we'll start in verse 14. Paul writes, "For we know that the law is spiritual." He's talking about the law of Moses. The law is spiritual in the Old Testament. "But I am of the flesh, sold under sin." Verse 15, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want." How many of us can say that? Like you want to follow God, you want to grow, but you just don't do that thing. But then he turns around and he says, "But I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law, that's good. So now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." And I'm not going to ask for somebody to say amen, but that might be where you're at. Like the thing you don't want to do, the thing you just wish you wouldn't do is the thing you keep doing. And then the thing you wish you would keep doing is the thing you can't do. And you're in this place, this cycle of sin. You're wrestling with the sin. You keep coming back to it. And you keep coming back to it so much that you've started to think, maybe this sin is just kind of baked into me. It's built into me somehow that I got stuck with this sin that's part of me. And I have bad news and good news here. The bad news is that you're right. Like if you're wrestling with a sin that you feel like is part of who you are, you're right, it is. Like there's this sin that's built into you. Now the good news is not really good news, but maybe it makes you feel a little bit better. It's not just you. It's you and everyone else who was ever born was born with sin built into us. And so what's happening is you probably, if this is what you're facing, you've probably grown with the Lord long enough. You've moved forward in your spiritual walk to the point where you're finally realizing how deep the problem of sin in your life goes. It's far deeper, far more serious, far more pervasive in our lives than we realize at first. Recently, my sister-in-law, her family, and they live in Brandon, Mississippi, and they were having issues with their driveway for a long time. You know, I don't know if you have a house like this, and in Mississippi, we have Yazoo clay, so a lot of houses have foundation issues and a lot of driveways. Like, it's rare to see a Mississippi driveway, kind of like a Mississippi road, that's just straight and smooth and nice, right? They're always wonky, and their driveway was always like this, and it's, oh, it's part of the charm of the house, you know, just a weird driveway that we have to have off-road tires to get over. And then, recently, a sinkhole actually opened up in the middle of their driveway. Thankfully, a car didn't fall into it. Thankfully, it didn't extend into the house. And so they had to pay all this money to get this deep problem fixed. They thought it was just, hey, our concrete, our driveway is a little bit out of whack. It was far deeper than that. They had to pay a ton of money to dig down deep and fill in the sinkhole with enough dirt. And what they think happened is back when the house was built, they think that they took a lot of stuff, they were tearing a lot of trash out in old bushes and trees, and they think they dumped it on this lot. And across time, that rotted away, and as it rotted away, this gap formed, and a sinkhole was created. Here's the reality of my life and your life. There's this deeper level of sin inside of us, and we can deal with the surface stuff. We can look at the surface and say, okay, I'm dealing with this pretty good. Stuff's out of whack a little bit, but we can ignore the deeper level of sin in our life up until we hit the point that whoever asked this question is. They're saying, I want to keep growing, but man, I've got this sin that keeps coming up. I think it's part of me. And this is actually, I want you to hear this. If you ask this question or you're resonating with this question, I want you to hear this, that this is a good thing. If you're running into how deep the problem of sin in your life goes, it's a good thing. It's actually God's blessing because God is waking you up to how deep of a need you have for Him. I know it's discouraging. I know you want to get past it, and God wants to bring you past it, but it's actually a good thing. You're hitting this wall, and you're realizing that you can't do it on your own. You need God's help. You need God to come in and help you out because the problem you're dealing with is the theological term for it is original sin. So when we think of sin, a lot of the time we think of something we do, the sins we commit, right? And we have the guilt of the sins we have committed. And Jesus died for the sins we've committed. He died on the cross so we could be forgiven of those things. But underlying those sins we commit, like lying or cheating or gossiping, or underlying all of that is the theological term is original sin. It's this part of us that is bent away from God. So rather than being aligned with God and our will going toward His, we're actually bent away from God. We're focused on ourselves. We're actually rebelled. In fact, we were made in God's image, the Bible says, but original sin corrupts who we are. It corrupts that image. There's a bent away from God. There's this self-focus. And living out of that original sin brokenness in us means that we cannot please God. In ourselves, we can't actually do what He wants. We can't please Him and honor Him. We are so, so very broken. And that's the reality that every single person finds themselves in. Now, we like to, as people, we like to think that we're better than others. I know you don't think you do, but we've done studies on this, and they've done studies and say, hey, compared to the average person, are you smarter or are you less smart, right? And how this should break down is 50% of people are smarter than the average person, and then about 50% are less smart than the average person. But when they do studies, 65% of people say that they're smarter than average, which is statistically improbable. And then this is my favorite. people who say that they're a better than average driver, right? Because we all think that we drive well and everybody else around us drives like a crazy person. It's just because we forget the time when we're texting and driving like we shouldn't do, and we're driving crazy, but we miss that because we're looking at our phones, right? Listen to this. 93% of people think they are a better than average driver, which means only 7% of people know the truth, which is that about 50% of us aren't as good as we think. All right, we do the same thing with our lives, is we make justifications and we think, I'm better than most. At least I'm not doing what a lot of people are doing. You know, at least I'm not cheating on my wife. Yeah, I may be harsh to her and I may mistreat her some and may yell at her, but at least I'm not cheating on her. Yeah, I mean, I'm gossiping about that person, but at least I'm nice to them in front of them. At least I'm not a jerk to their face. And we begin to make all these excuses and rationalizations. But the reality of what Scripture teaches is that we are broken at our core. And one of the fundamental realities of the gospel, right, of coming to God through Jesus, is we have to repent of the sins we've committed, recognize there's nothing we can do to get to God on our own. We have to repent of our sins and come to Him. But even deeper than that, we have to recognize that we're broken at our very core. Now, here's something else I want to point out about original sin, this idea that we're all broken. It's not that this is an essential part of who you are. If original sin were necessary to be human, then Jesus would have been human. But Jesus was fully God and fully human, but He didn't have this original sin, this brokenness at the core of who He was. What Jesus shows us is the way to live and what's possible to live by His grace, by His sacrifice, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so in this passage we just read in Romans chapter 7, we're given a word here that kind of points at this idea of original sin over and over again in the Bible. And look down again at Romans chapter 7, verse 14. Paul writes and he says, I'm of the flesh, sold under sin. I am of the flesh. And suddenly, can you hear what's being said there? It's not just that he's having a hard day and that he's struggling to do the right thing. It's that deep, at the core, like his identity is the flesh. The flesh is this way of talking about being opposed to God, not living out of the spiritual reality, the Holy Spirit, but living out of yourself, but not just yourself as someone transformed by God, but yourself in all your brokenness. I'm of the flesh, sold under sin. And so for the person who asked this question, how do I keep growing when I feel like this sin's part of me? Well, here's the bad news, right? This sin is deeply embedded in your life. It's deeply embedded in who you are. But the good news is the gospel doesn't end there. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to the next chapter, Romans 8. And I want to read just a couple verses of this. In Romans 8, this is what it says in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so Paul's writing is saying Jesus came, He actually took on human form. He became human. But it says in the likeness of sinful flesh, because Jesus wasn't sinful, but he stepped into our humanity and He gave His life for us. He paid the price so we could be set free by the blood of Jesus from the guilt of sin, but also the power of sin. Now this is something important because most of us, when we've heard the gospel before, we've heard this message, repent of the sins you have committed, trust in Jesus, and those sins are taken care of. And maybe your future sins are taken care of, but we're often kind of get this message of, but you're not totally transformed where you can be free from the power of sin. But I want to challenge you on this, because some of us have this mentality that living in the flesh is just where we are, that the sin, we're stuck with it, we can't live beyond the flesh. And I want to challenge you on that, because I don't think that belief is biblical, that we're stuck under the power of sin. We're stuck living life in the flesh. I think many of us find ourselves there, but that's not where we are supposed to stay. I was on a trip this past week, and we were hanging out. It was a church event, so it was this large conference about church planting. And so a number of Foundry leaders were there, and we were hanging out one night around this fire pit by the hotel and just kind of processing through the day, talking about what we're learning, about what Jesus is revealing to us and the Spirit's, what He's pressing on our hearts. And we're down there talking, and this guy walks by, and he kind of like overhears us, and so we invite him to come over. Somebody says, "Hey, we're just talking about Jesus, if you want to come over here." And he didn't really want to. He was pretty clearly inebriated, and he just wanted to have a quick smoke break. But he kind of felt himself keep being drawn over. We say, "Hey, come on, come join us. And so he made some comment at some point about, you know, being addicted to the cigarettes. And one of the guys with us, his name is Eddie, and he's actually a pastor. He used to be involved here at Foundry Flowood, but now he's a pastor up in the Memphis area, just moved recently. And Eddie's like, "Man, I used to be addicted to drugs." And that caught this guy's attention, the guy who was out there for a smoke break. He said, "Really, what drugs?" And then Eddie, who's a good friend of mine, started listing off drugs, and I couldn't even list them all for you. I knew a couple of them. I remember he said meth, and I knew that one. But he started saying other stuff. Just listed off all these drugs that he used to be addicted to, spent years being addicted to. And this guy said, "Oh man, that's tough. I'll be praying for you because I know it's hard to stay out of going back into that." And I loved Eddie's response. Eddie said, "No man, Jesus has transformed me. Like he's radically changed. I'm not addicted anymore. I'm not drawn to that. I've been set free." And I've known Eddie now for like 5 or 6 years. And let me just tell you what he said is true. Eddie's been set free. He's been set free. This thing that once held him, right, living out of the flesh, desiring things, but not being able to do what God wants, like he's been set free from that, and not just from the immediate addiction, but from the desire for that. Eddie has been transformed. And there's somebody here who needs to hear that brief testimony, who needs to know that whatever you're wrestling with, whether you keep coming back and finding yourself lying consistently, or you find yourself doing something wrong consistently, or you find yourself being drawn back into pornography consistently, that God wants to give you freedom. He wants to give you freedom. In fact, what I just read from Romans chapter 7, what Paul's saying, what I don't want to do, I do, and what I stop doing, I keep doing, that's actually not Paul. If you look back in the context of it, that's not Paul writing about his present experience. That's Paul writing about his life before Jesus, when he was living, trying to live under just God's rules and not with the Spirit of God in his life. And I want to show you what I mean. So Paul says in verse 14, we just read it, of chapter 7, "I am of the flesh, sold under sin," right? The flesh is my identity. But look down at what he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. He says, "You, however," writing to Christians, "are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." The Holy Spirit is who he's talking about. "If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you." And then he makes this strong statement that I want us to pay attention to. "Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him." If you don't have the Spirit, you don't belong to Christ. "But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Paul says, you, writing to Christians, are not in the flesh but in the Spirit if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So the reality for Christians, or at least what should be the reality for Christians, is that we are living our lives in the Spirit. Living our lives led by the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit of God, not in the flesh. Now I want to come back to all this though, because for many of us that whole Romans 7 thing sounded right. In fact, I've known people who said that's my life verse. Like what I want to do, I can't do. What I don't want to do, I keep doing. That's my life verse. But that's not just describing Paul before he was a Christian, when he was a Jewish person doing his best to follow God's law, but not able to do it. But Paul says, no, if you're a Christian, you're not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit. Okay, so how do we make sense of this in our life? Paul says something in the book of Galatians, which is another letter he wrote, Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. He says this, "Anyone who belongs to Christ Jesus has crucified the flesh with his passions and desires." And here he says that if anyone, going back to verse 9, "Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him." We hear these things, and it's like, okay, so So what if I haven't crucified the flesh, like Paul says, if I belong? What if I don't know if I have the Spirit? Well, here's two options, okay? And I don't mean for either one of these to be insulting. I just want to reveal God's truth to you. So if you're wrestling in this place where you feel like sin is part of you, you're wrestling with the flesh having control in your life, there's two possibilities. Possibility number one is simply that you are not a Christian. Now, again, I don't mean that insulting. I know that sounds like an insult. It's not. But Paul's standard for what it means to be a Christian here is those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified, have put to death the flesh, and that they have the Spirit of Christ living in them. And so if that's not your reality, then like Paul is writing and saying, I don't think you're a Christian. But I also think there's another possibility. So maybe it's that you're not truly a Christian. What I mean by that is you haven't truly been born again into new life by the Spirit of God. But another possibility is that you are a Christian, but the Holy Spirit doesn't have control of your life. So you are genuinely following God. He has worked. He's made you new by the power of His Spirit. But what you've done is you've reduced the influence of the Holy Spirit in your life to where the Spirit doesn't really have access. You've limited the Spirit in your life, and you've allowed your flesh to take over instead of allowing God to work in you. Either way, what you're experiencing is you're stuck under the power of the flesh in your life. So here's the good news. There's hope. Right, there's hope. Many of us have spent years of our lives as Christians, or even decades of our lives as Christians, under the power of the flesh, but there's hope. Like what we're seeing right here is that we can be set free from the flesh and have life in the Spirit. In Galatians 5, right? Anyone who belongs to Christ Jesus has crucified the sinful nature. And then Paul says right after that in chapter 5, verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Like our lives are not living in alignment and not controlled anymore by the flesh, but they're controlled by God's Spirit in our lives. And some of you are hearing this and you're thinking, yes, that's it. And here's what I want you to see, that God has given His grace to you. He's allowed you to wrestle with this deeper level of sin. It's not just the sins you commit, but the sin that's built into your life. And He's allowed you to wrestle with it to see that you can't get to where He wants to take you on your own. But you have to depend on the Holy Spirit at work in you. So you have to depend on the Holy Spirit, not yourself. In fact, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul says this. He says, having started by the Spirit, will you be perfected by the flesh? Right? And many of us have done this. Like the Holy Spirit did something real in our lives to bring us to Jesus, but we keep trying harder on our own instead of trusting Him. And so here's the answer, right? If you're wrestling, if like whoever asked this question, I hope you're listening right now. How do you keep growing, you asked, if you feel like the sin that you're struggling with is part of you? Two steps, and this is really what the whole Christian life is built on. The two steps are very simple. You've heard them before, okay? But I want to unpack them for you in this context. The two steps are repent and believe. Repent, which means a change of mind, a change of direction. Repent and then believe, right? Put your full trust on who Jesus is, what He has said, and what He can do in your life. Repent and believe. I think specifically around this topic, many of us think that repent and believe is only to just trust in Jesus for salvation. But salvation is not just being forgiven of your past sin. It's for God to deal with this deeper sin in you as well. And so here's how I want to think about repent and believe. I want to think about it from the idea of the first step, repent, of making room for the Spirit in your life, making room for Him. My brother Zeke and his wife Allie are expecting their first child, little baby girl coming sometime soon, into May, beginning of June. So I'm an uncle already, but I can't wait to meet my little niece sometime soon. When Zeke and Allie moved into their house, they bought this house together right after they graduated from college. They had three rooms. The master bedroom was their bedroom, and they had to figure out what to do with the other rooms. So one, they turned into a guest bedroom, and the other one was it was like kind of a music room. They had a piano in there, but also kind of a guest bedroom. And they decorated it and they made a whole accent wall in there. But pretty soon they realized when they had this baby come, they're like, you know, we're gonna take one of our guest bedrooms. And they had to clear it out, they're gonna repaint it, they're gonna fix it up for this baby. And so they shifted their whole life, they moved everything, they changed it around because they wanted to make the right space and the right room for this small child, this little girl, to come live with them soon. All right, the Holy Spirit wants you to do the same thing in your life. If you are a Christian, but you're still living under the power of the flesh, it is because you have minimized the Holy Spirit and allowed the flesh to have control in your life. How have you done that? Now, there's three ways I want to highlight for you. The first way we do this, the way we minimize the Spirit and we allow the flesh to have control, is by having unconfessed sin in our lives. We stop taking sin seriously. We just let it build up. We don't confess it to others. We don't attack the sin in our lives, do everything we can to put it to death. We just kind of give into it and let it go. So that's level one. You might have unconfessed sin. And so I want to challenge you, if you're trying to grow, but you feel like the sin is part of you, you need to confess that sin and confess the depth of that sin, not just to God, but to somebody else. Another way that you might not be making room for the Holy Spirit is by an area of darkness in your life. There's some area that you've allowed darkness to come in. This some people call this a stronghold. You've allowed there to be something in your life where you're not letting the power of God come in. You're blocking God out. Maybe this is a traumatic thing that happened in your past. Maybe this is just an area you don't want God to be able to interact with. It may not be a sin necessarily, but it's something you are keeping from God. It's a way you're trying to push God out and keep him at a distance. And when you do that, you begin to quench the Spirit's power in his role in your life, and you allow the flesh to have more. The final area is areas in your life where you don't want to let God have control. And I think for many of us who are followers of Jesus, this is the area we go to fastest to minimize the Holy Spirit. So maybe it's unconfessed sin, maybe it's areas of darkness or strongholds, but for a lot of us, it's an area you don't want God to have control. You don't want God to control your future relationships or your current relationships, your romantic relationship, your marriage. You don't want God to control that. You want to choose your own way. Your money. You don't want God to control that. You want to choose your own way. You don't want to be generous with God. You want to hold on to it, accumulate, keep it to yourself. In your future, your career, or just your future in general, you don't want to trust God. You want to forge your own way. God's saying, hey, I want you to do this. Hey, I want you to take this job making a little bit less money, but you'll be able to serve me in that. You don't want to do that. And so you don't give God control. You take control for yourself, but all you have to offer is the flesh. And you're pushing the Spirit out. You got to make room for him. And here's what I've learned in being a pastor and walking with a lot of people in life. Sometimes what you think is the issue isn't the real issue. Here's what I mean. Maybe the issue you're wrestling with in your life is anger, and you can't get over this anger. But what God's really calling you to do is confess to someone and apologize that you've been gossiping about them. And you're like, how is gossip connected to anger? Spiritually, there's something there, right? Another area of sin, and you don't realize how it's affecting you over here. And so we have to make room for the Spirit by confessing sin, by exposing areas of darkness in our lives to the light, and by giving control to the Holy Spirit. Back when I was in college, it was my freshman year, and I was really praying. I was going to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want you just to purify me, to sanctify me. And I was praying this one night, freshman year, and just saying, Lord, whatever that looks like to be fully yours, to have your Spirit fully in control of my life, I want that to be the case. The next day, I went to a Christian college. We had chapel the next day, and I was sitting there in chapel, and this guy was speaking, and he talked about, he said, he was talking about trusting the Lord, and like Jesus said in Matthew 16, deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow after Jesus. And he made this statement that just slammed against the direction of my life. He said, what if God's plans for you are smaller than your plans for yourself? And when I heard that, like immediately, I knew that was for me. Maybe it's for a lot of other people too, but it resonated and connected with me. And here was my plans. This is kind of funny to me now. My plan for my life was I was going to go start a church, plant a church, and it was going to be a big church. And it was going to be reaching a ton of people because I just knew, right, as an 18-year-old freshman, I just knew that I was going to do so much for the kingdom and had these just amazing gifts. And it was going to be an awesome thing. And I was going to be pastor of it all. And I built up this thing in my life. And I believe, by the way, God had called me to plant a church, and he's led me into that now. But I built up this vision and this call God had put in my life into a self-focused vision. So in that space of being in that service and hearing this message, I had to give that over to God. I had to surrender that control to him. Now, when I did that, I believe that the Holy Spirit filled me in a new way. that God's Spirit. I was a Christian before, but I hadn't fully opened up my life. I hadn't fully surrendered control to God. And so the Spirit wasn't able to fully come in and cover my life and lead my life like He wanted to do. And many of us, because we're not making room, we're stuck under the flesh. You got to make room. Confess that sin. Show light onto that area of darkness. Give God control of everything. Surrender everything to Him. Well, how do we believe then? If we're repenting, if we make room for the Holy Spirit, we get ourselves out of the way, what happens next? Well, Jesus said, He said that the Father wants to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. He says this in Luke chapter 11. And so when we make room, we confess and we expose darkness to light and we surrender control to Him. And then we just simply ask, Father, would You fill me with Your Holy Spirit? Father, would You send Your Holy Spirit to lead and guide me to take control of my life? I want to live life in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And if we've truly repented, if we've really opened up our lives to God and given it all to Him, and if we truly receive and just ask the Lord and trust Him, then the Lord will give you freedom from the sin you're wrestling with. Maybe that'll be in this moment. Maybe it'll be across time as you surrender and trust, but God will give you freedom. So how do you grow? Well, when you invite the Spirit in, He's going to provide the growth. So what it's going to look like for you if you're stuck in that place, right? Whoever asked this question, you want to grow, but you're struggling with a sin that feels like part of you. It's because that sin is part of you. It's the flesh in you. And what God's looking for is for you to make room for His Spirit, to confess that sin, expose that darkness to light, give up control of that thing you don't want to give up control to God with. Give it up to Him, and then ask for His Holy Spirit to come and fill you. And what we're told here in the Scripture is that we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. And we're told in Galatians that we can keep in step with the Spirit. God wants you to grow. And He wants to send His Spirit into your life so you can grow. So make room for the Holy Spirit and ask the Father to send the Spirit to you. We're going to finish up with a time of response, so let's bow our heads and prepare for prayer. Father, we ask that You would point out the places in our lives where we are far from You, where we have unconfessed sin, areas of darkness, where we are holding on to control in our lives. Father, expose those to us. Open our eyes up to how we're holding back from You and pour Your light and Your presence into those areas. Help us make room for You. And then, Father, send Your Holy Spirit over everyone who's hearing this, everyone who's watching this, participating in this message. I pray that You would send Your Holy Spirit. As we make room for You, send Your Spirit into our lives. Help us to walk in Your Spirit. Live by the power of Your Spirit so we can be Your people, a holy people serving a holy God. We pray all this in Your name, Jesus. Amen.